Now we're joined by one of our regulars, a friend of the program, Dane Brugler, NFLDraftScout.com. We stole him over from the Dallas Cowboys. He'll be with them all week on DallasCowboys.com. But Dane has been watching these players all year long. When we're watching NFL games, he's watching college games. So you won't find anybody with a better feel for this draft class. And Dane, let's start at the top because that's where the Giants are, second overall. Obviously, it'll depend what the Browns do. When you take, and we asked Steve Palazzolo this question, when you take positional value and player ability into consideration, who are the guys that you think should be in the mix for the Giants at number two?
You'd start a quarterback. And like you said, depending on what the Browns do at one, let's just say they take a quarterback, whether that's Sam Darnold or whoever they fall in love with, then you're the Giants. You're sitting there at two. Is there someone you love there? And it could be a Josh Rosen. It could be Darnold if he doesn't go one. You better love the guy if you're going to take him number two. And I think Dave Gettleman said it this morning that if you miss on a quarterback
at two,
yeah, exactly. So if you don't love the guy, then you go in a different direction. You go with a Bradley Chubb, who, to me, I think a lot of people are kind of writing off because they have a lot of money invested in the defensive end position. But Dave Gettleman didn't sign those contracts. We never know what – with pass rush, as important as it is in today's NFL – and as important as it is to Dave Gettleman, I think Bradley Chubb is absolutely in play there. And Saquon Barkley, running back, is going to be something that I know I'm sure you guys have talked about a lot, and that's where you factor in position value. And does a running back warrant a pick that high? And I think it depends on the situation of the team. 2 years ago with Zeke to the Cowboys at four overall, that made sense. The Jaguars last year at four overall, Leonard Fournette, that made sense. This year with Barkley at number two, I think you can make a case, depending on what the Giants do in free agency and how they feel about some of these quarterbacks, you could make a case that Saquon Barkley would be the smartest pick there at number two.
Let's talk more about Barkley because there were so many people who view him as a franchise guy who was going to be incredible. Then there were those who say, you know what, there were too many holes he missed at Penn State. Maybe he could have been even better.
Yeah.
And if the offensive line is suspect, you won't get maximum value out of him.
And he also bounces it too much maybe, too.
He's a home run hitter, and he looks for that home run. And sometimes he needs to be okay taking singles and doubles instead of looking for the home run. And I think that is the biggest, if you're going to put some weaknesses attached to Saquon Barkley, it is the running back specific traits. He's a freak as an athlete, 233 pounds. And what he does, they might name the combine after him by the time we leave. he's going to be really impressive with what he does at that size. And so just he's a freak athlete, better athlete than Ezekiel Elliott that was, than Todd Gurley. But where I think I give Zeke and Gurley the edge, just in terms of the top running back prospects we've seen the last few years, the running back specific traits, the vision, the patience, the decision making. Mm-hmm. And not to say Barkley's not deficient in those areas. He's just not as – he doesn't grade out as high as maybe –
not as polished.
Right. And some of that's just – I'm not sure how much better his vision's going to get. It's a lot of that's instinctive. And, again, he's not – he's more average than he is above average in those areas. And that's not a knock against him. He's still going to be a very productive back. I want him on my team. But if you're going to poke some holes on him, I mean, he's not a perfect prospect.
Now, here's the one thing that a lot of people don't even talk about, and that's pass protection. Because
right.
If you have a 37-year-old quarterback in the pocket, and Barkley's going to get a healthy amount of playing time out of the box,
right.
He better be able to pick up a blitz.
Absolutely. And you watch the Pitt game early in the year, he missed a few assignments. There were a few times where he didn't get to his landmark, and the rusher was able to get past him and put a hit on the quarterback. But as the season went on, he got better and better and better. And so I don't think he's necessarily on the Zeke level in terms of being as good without the ball in his hands as a blocker and as a pass catcher. But he's not below average in those areas. I feel comfortable with Zeke as a pass protector and as a receiver.
Now, if the Giants don't go Barkley at two and they decide to wait, what's your take on the guys that could be available at the top of the second round or the top of the third round at that position specifically? Because, frankly, while they're not as good as Barkley,
right.
If you can grab Darius Geis or Ronald Jones at the top of the second round, you're doing pretty well.
Bingo. And that's part of the conversation with Barkley. I mean, it shouldn't be, when you have the number two pick, you should take the best player available that's going to impact your team.
Agreed.
But it does have to kind of impact the decision-making a little bit because when you look at this running back class and how deep it is, and even if a Geis or a Ronald Jones go in the late portion of the first
which
round,
they could.
Possible, Sony Michel could still be there. A Nick Chubb, one of these other running backs, it's a very deep group. So, have the same conversation with the Browns. They'll be talking about Barkley. If the Giants pass on two, maybe the Browns take him at four. But again, they have the 33rd and 35th. If they sandwich that Giants pick, they could go running back with one of those two picks. So it's an interesting discussion because it factors into the Barkley discussion. Again, you take the best player at two, but if you don't take Barkley, you feel awfully good about who's going to be available for you in the second round.
You know, if the Giants decide to, go Barkley, whoever it is, that's not an offensive lineman at number two, because most people think Quentin Nelson, even though he's a great prospect, right, at two, you can't take a guard. I think a lot of people feel that way.
Number one on his board, by the way.
He's the best,
and I get it.
He's the best football player in this
and
draft.
And I get it.
But, right, positional value, it factors in.
You have to.
Yeah,
you have
you
to. It just, football 101 says you can't take a guard there. It's hard. But if the Giants know that they've got to improve the offensive line,
right,
are there in your mind guys in the second and third round that would be significant upgrades over what they have now that they could wait and maybe get one of those guys there, like maybe a Will Hernandez at the top of round two?
What I'm worried about with this offensive line group is, there are 32 teams that need offensive line depth.
Everybody does.
Exactly.
You're right.
So
you're right.
I think we're going to see second-round offensive linemen go in the first round. And it's going to be interesting to see how many end up going in the first round. I mean, Quentin Nelson, obviously. I think Isaiah Wynn. Will Hernandez has a good chance to go into the first round.
Yeah.
And then which tackles go in the first? Connor Williams from Texas, Orlando Brown from Oklahoma, McGlinchey from Notre Dame, and then the centers, both James Daniels from Iowa and
right,
then Billy Price from Ohio State. All those offensive linemen, a lot of those guys are second-round players, but they're going to go in the first because supply and demand. There's more demand than there is supply, and
right,
so those guys are going to get propped up. And so for the Giants in the second round, it's kind of, who's left for us at the offensive line? Is there someone we view as a second-round player? And then if you wait till the third round, okay, well, then there's going to be more, then you're left with maybe some fourth-round offensive linemen. So it's really tough with these offensive linemen because so many of these guys are going to get snatched up early because if you don't get them, you might be out of luck.
So third round is too deep, you think? Because
yeah,
of the way the prices right are inflated, third-round guys
exactly
are not good enough.
I really think that the price of these offensive linemen are going to be overvalued, and they're going to go higher than maybe their grade says they should
right
go. And so that points to, okay, second round, maybe we don't love the player there, but we know he's not going to be available in the third, and we don't feel great about our options. Maybe you try to trade down a little bit. And maybe if you're sitting there at, 34, you try to trade up into the late first round and get that fifth-year option, make sure you get that guard that you want, Will Hernandez, whoever it is. I think that's definitely has to be on the table as well.
How about the tackle class? We sat here last year, and everyone panned, Garrett Bowles, Ramczyk, and Ken Robinson.
Right.
These guys are going to go in the first round, but they're not first-round players. How does this group compare to that group? And if you look purely based on ability, are any of these guys really truly first-round picks in your opinion?
I don't think so. My first board that I released, draft board, I didn't have a tackle in my top 25.
Wow.
And, it's – you can poke holes each one of them. You just have to kind of figure out, okay, are these holes going to keep them from being long-term starters? Orlando Brown, for example, he came in today at 6'8", 345 pounds. You need to call an Uber to get around him.
That was before lunch.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, but he has heavy feet. I don't want to tackle with heavy feet. He's able to compensate in a lot of ways because he has that wide base, wide hips, the wingspan. But in the NFL, when you have to line up against some of the premier pass rushers, is that going to be enough? And so Orlando Brown, he's not going to be for everybody. But there will be a team, I think, in the first round, maybe the top 20, that buys into his strengths as a player. Connor Williams, he's a case of – you have to really buy into the 2016 tape.
I was going to say, you have to watch last year.
Right. 2016, he looked like a future first-round pick mm-hmm. as a sophomore. He goes to Texas for his junior year. He looked abysmal in the first few games of the year.
And that was before his injury, right?
Before the injury. And he wasn't injured. It's not like he was playing injured. He just looked bad. In the season opener against Maryland, and then he injured the knee against USC, opted against surgery, came back after some rest and rehab, and did okay later in the year, but not up to the level of first-round pick. And so, again, if you're taking Connor Williams in the first, which, I think is certainly possible, then you're really banking on that 2016 tape as this is the guy I'm getting, this is who I believe in. The guy in 2017, that was just an aberration. So big week this week for Connor Williams.
And then how about McGlinchey, the third guy that people consider at the top of that class?
Right, the top senior this year, top senior tackles. Hoping we get to see him at the Senior Bowl, but he decided not to go. He struggles with speed. You saw that in the Georgia game. Saw that against some of the more athletic edge rushers. him and Nelson on the left side of that line is just unfair in the run game. just really ridiculous. Road graders, and so I don't worry about him in the run game. But in pass protection, that's where some of the issues show up. And, you know, some people call him maybe a right tackle. I want my left tackle and right tackle to almost be interchangeable. So I want guys that can, you know, because it's not like the best pass rushers are only lining up against the left tackle.
Dan, let me tell you, last year the Giants played Khalil Mack, Von Miller, Ryan Kerrigan, DeMarcus Lawrence. Guess where all of them lined up?
Yeah.
Over the right tackle.
Exactly. So teams are, you know, the left tackle, right tackle discrepancy, I don't think it's I think a lot more teams are buying into that. It's not as big of a deal as it used to be.
I got to ask you about the linebackers because I think the Giants are going to come out of this draft with some linebacking help. Leonard, Nwosu, guys as maybe second-day picks, because I don't think they're taking a linebacker at the number two overall selection.
Right.
But second and third round, to me, that puts a linebacker in play.
Yeah, I think so. And I think the top two linebackers, Roquan Smith and Tremaine Edmonds from Virginia Tech, both those guys are top 15 players.
Right.
And then after that, Rashawn Evans might go in the first. He could be there in the early second. The day two linebacker that really stands out for me is Van Der Esch from Boise State.
Okay.
And this is a player who you know, I love my favorite part about the draft process is learning about the journey of these guys. And Van Der Esch, he played eight-man football in the lowest level of Idaho high school football. He played quarterback. And so, he, you know, no offers, no real offers. He walks on at Boise State, spends the first few years, you know, getting his body right, learning, getting better. Becomes a starter this past year as a junior, and he blows it up. He was top five in the FBS in tackles. The production was outstanding, and he got better throughout the year. You just see him as an ascending player, a guy with a light bulb starting to really illuminate. And so for me, I think Van Der Esch, somewhere on day two, he'd make some sense.
We asked Steve Palazzolo this as well. Depth of this class, is it as deep as last year's class where you're grabbing, you know, a starting caliber player in the third round, or is the drop-off a little bit earlier, you think, this season?
You know, it's hard to say overall, but position by position, I think, you know, like corner, really deep. Running back, really deep. Wide receiver, not great in the first round, but it's deep on day two. You know, we talked about offensive line, how those guys are going to get overvalued because we don't have that depth.
Right.
So I think it really depends on the position. You could really point to, you know, safety, not a great class this year. Pass rusher is average. Defensive tackle has some good players. I don't know if you'd call it a deep class. But the skill, it's a lot of skill positions, running back, wide receiver, corner. I think we're going to be able to find some starters on day two and maybe even in day three.
Wide receiver. I took a look at these guys. I haven't watched a ton of tape, but I watched some.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone coming out seems to profile as a slot receiver now. You don't get many of these like 6'2 guys that actually run in the 4.4s that can
right.
play outside. I see a bunch of 5'11 guys that played slot in college.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for an outside guy, you know, because the Giants have Sterling Shepard, they don't need another slot guy. And if you want to get a young outside guy in the second, third, fourth round, who are you looking at?
Cortland Sutton in the second round would be interesting. I mean, he's a big power forward on the football field. Big week for him here. What's he going to run the 40-yard dash? Is he a 4.58 guy, or is he a 4.52, 4.49, that type of athlete? Hard to say in that SMU offense. And, you know, just going from that SMU offense to what he's asked to do in the NFL, it's going to be a big jump. So that's why his value is probably going to be early in second round. But there's a lot of young players that you point to in this draft that can play, you project them to play outside. Equiminia St. Brown from Notre Dame. You know, a first rounder on name alone, but he'll probably be a day two pick, and you know you can get good value there. So I agree with what you're saying, though. A lot of these players, they didn't face press coverage in college, and
that's a big deal.
Exactly, and so like an Anthony Miller from Memphis, I think he can play outside in the NFL, but he's probably going to be best as a slot player where he has space. He can manipulate defenders, but I think he can play outside. It's just he might be best inside. And you're right. We are seeing a lot of that coming out of the college ranks.
It seems to me that a lot of the guys we've talked about, in many instances, you've talked about how they might get pushed up. Is there a guy who everybody thinks is a surefire first rounder or even a high to mid first rounder who's going to fall like a stone because it happens every year?
It does. And I think we'll figure out some of that this week. A guy like Arden Key, pass rusher from LSU,
right.
A guy who, you know, you see a lot of first-round traits and special traits, top 10, but there's a lot of question marks, too. He took a leave of absence from the team over the spring. He had surgery on a shoulder, And then this junior year didn't go quite as expected. As a sophomore, he set the LSU single season record for sacks. He was nearly unblockable in the SEC with that edge speed. And then, you know, the junior year was a train wreck. And so how do you, the interviews that he goes through this week will be huge, determining, okay, is he a top 20 player or is he going to fall a little bit? And Harold Landry from Boston College.